Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rikari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. That's right. We're already talking about next year. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you, so visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
All right, guys, welcome into episode 27 of Coffee and Shell. I am Sleeves, joined by my co-host, as always, Kesso, for a special live edition of Coffee and Shell, as I am in the middle of a subathon, as I have been streaming for 58 hours in a row, and obviously the show must go on, so we have to record this one. It will be live, but I expect every single person who watched this live to download and comment and give the video a like. So nonetheless, Kesso, as always, how have you been and what's new?
Dude, we were talking about it a little prior. Somebody was a dick to me at work last week. I'm wearing this like dad hat here, right? So I was having a bad day and my wife wanted to cheer me up. It was an early birthday present. So that was great. But so a lot of people know, like, I work in finance and it's like financial planning and analysis. I work for like a tech place. Mm-hmm. So we work hand in hand with these like project managers, and we all kind of work for like the technical staff, right? These are the people working on like cybersecurity things or whatever. And my wife was sick on a Thursday, right? So like I called off, but like I didn't have an out of office. We were in the ER for like from like 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. She's okay now. But like, you know, didn't respond to anything that following day, worried about her. So I get in on Friday and this guy sends me a message on Teams and he's like, hey, we're going to need some more responsiveness from you. And I was like so pissed off because nobody's ever talked to me like that at work. I've never had like a customer facing like job really ever in my life. And, after that, I was like, hey, I find that unprofessional. And then he sends me a message back proceeding to give me like the dictionary version of what like responsive means. And after that, like I had to step away and just walk away. And like the whole weekend, it happened on a Friday. This is like a week ago. The whole weekend, and we're like laying in bed or something. We're watching TV. I'm just sitting there. The fuck's wrong with that guy? What's wrong with that guy? Like, I'm just pissed off. Like, oh my God. And I finally got over it. But hence the hat, you know, I needed cheered up. Wife got me a dad hat. So we're good now.
Well, I'm glad to hear. I'm glad to hear that you're doing better now. At work, was it like dealt with internally? Like, or was it just like.
It was like pushed to the side. I have a meeting with the guy actually tomorrow that he's in, and I might just bring it up like, you know, I found it rude, but like, hopefully we can move past it. It's one of those things where it's like, I have to deal with these, with this person, just cause how our jobs work. So we'll see what happens. He's been rude to people in the past. So I think it's just a personality thing.
Yeah, check him. Personality check.
Yeah. Respect. I mean, yeah. What about you, dude? The subathon's going great.
It is going well. Yeah. There are a lot too many generous people in the community that want to see me just push the boundaries of my mental capacity. But yeah, I've been streaming for 58 hours. I've slept twice. First night, I only got like 3 hours of sleep. It is very weird knowing that people are sleep watching you sleep. But I feel like people aren't watching me sleep because I play a video of like my past stream. And then it's like a small little cutout of me passed out. And to be honest, it's mostly just my cat now. My wife's cat, because, you know, my wife is upstairs and obviously I have to be on stream, so she's not going to be. So Summer is like sleeping with her and has taken over my spot. So our cats are terrified of Summer. So they both sleep downstairs and he just sleeps either on my head or like right in front of the camera, which I kind of think is funny. Yeah. But nonetheless, like that's how it's going. Yesterday, because I only got 3 hours of sleep. So it's like I went like 48 hours on 3 hours of sleep, essentially, or 38 hours. And I just passed out, like I was gassed. I fell asleep at like 2:30 a.m. last night, and I slept like 6 hours, like till like 9:30, which I thought was pretty nice. Made it through most of the night. So I was much more awake and whatnot today. This is the second subathon I've ever done. Last one lasted 74 hours. That one was like capped. This one, there is no cap on it. If people want to see me keep streaming and they keep subbing to my channel and gifting subs and bits and all that, the timer keeps going up as we speak right now, going to the podcast. There's 33 more hours to go and I'm in hour 59. So, Tuesday is when it will end. I have a feeling that it might get down to like an hour and then, you know, maybe there's some villains in the community that want to get a good chuckle and they add 10 more hours on. But no, it's been really fun. I have been just grinding MLB.
And you're still having fun with it after dozens of hours.
I haven't even scratched the surface of it. Yeah. So let's just talk about, I have been making videos also too. Like, so that's been kind of fun, part of the subathon, like before I forget. I've been making editing, having to record and edit videos. Some of the videos I've been sending to my editor, Tyler. Hello, Tyler in chat. The other ones I've been editing live. And I like that process because we always talk a lot about how, like, I said that I want to write a book about like how to become a content creator. I like instructing people and showing people how like the process of like what editing a video looks like and all that stuff entails, because I feel like a lot of people don't realize the amount of work that goes into being a full-time creator or even not being a full-time creator, because, you know, you do the same thing. So that's been fun. And I forgot where I was going with this because I've been streaming for 59 hours.
Shout out to Tyler, by the way. So Tantalizing that edits my videos. Tyler referred to him for I forget what like minor league baseball league it is, but for a job, it's like a tech director job for like, and it's like remote. But Tyler referred the position to him. Nathan used my YouTube channel in his resume and he got the job. So congrats to Nathan. Dude, Tyler's like the nicest guy ever. So
he is thanks, very Tyler. Nice.
I already thanked you before, but thank you again for looking out.
Excellent. Yeah. That's actually cool. Tantalizer was in my chat earlier. And I'm kind of surprised I didn't bring that up. But all right, that's good to hear. That's good news. Yeah. That makes me feel nice.
Dude, I'm creating jobs. You know that? That's what I'm doing here. I am more efficient than the government, okay?
All right, so MLB. Okay, you know how we talk about how NHL 22 is like the worst game of NHL?
Yeah.
And like we have to mention it. So the reason why it's very difficult to rate sport games, because obviously the latest game will have things in it that improve upon the prior games overall. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, power up icons and powering up X Factor cards is an improvement over like not having that and just having like, you know what I mean? Like that's cool. Having power up cards, that is an improvement to the game. Things like that. MLB 21 to 22, there's so little actually new in the game. And it's staggering that 21 was such a good game that I think that it's easily the best sports game ever made in the Ultimate Team era.
Okay.
I don't want to say ever, because like outside of Diamond Dynasty, it's awful still. It's barren.
It's just the best Ultimate Team that's ever been
made. It is such a good Ultimate Team mode, and it goes to show what happens when you put all of your resources into an Ultimate Team mode. What can come out of that, because that's what's happened. So there just isn't very much different about 21, and it's a lot of just small quality of life things that you wouldn't know if you didn't play the prior year. And there are some pretty decent ones. But overall, it's not a lot of huge change. The servers, which is always MLB's worst thing. And I'm saying like the servers are so bad. They are way worse than NHL, which I feel like is a big statement, because everyone complains about the, you know, the day to day use of the servers. And like if the servers go down once for like NHL, it's 500 tweets, 40 Reddit threads. And it happens like a total server going down for EA How frequent do you think that is?
It doesn't happen often because we always like see whenever it happens. Usually it's like 1 o'clock during like hut champs, right? And then it's like, what? They didn't give us a heads up.
Yeah.
What's wrong with them? These people should be fired, you know?
Yeah. So like I would say it happens in the totality of a game 4 times in a year.
You know what? Outside of outside of patches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe max of a four times.
Yeah.
Right?
Like where it goes down, there's an error. Like MLB 21, guys, it introduced cross platform, so there was an expectation to it. But it was like they would lose like half a day where you couldn't get into Diamond Dynasty, and it was regular, like occurrence. And so I've played like probably 40 hours of MLB now since launch of the game during my subathon, and probably more than that. I've watched a lot of Cart Narcs, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but I've probably played about 40 hours of MLB, and I've literally only gotten knocked off the server 3 times, and I could load immediately right back in. There was no waiting. So it's been really improved. Now, the one issue is that obviously this is the pre-order time. They're about to get probably 1 to 2 million more people all at once. And it's funny because like thinking of this from, I was talking about this on stream, thinking of this from like a business standpoint, it's very difficult if you're like, again, you're running a business. I don't know what the cost of a server would be. I would assume it's probably about 1 million.
Dude, I have no idea.
I'm going to say a million. Regardless of what, it's not cheap to get a substantial improvement to how a game would work. It's got to be difficult to like justify buying an extra server or four so that the launch is smooth, because you know no matter what that it will after the launch of the game it will go down and you won't need anywhere near that volume.
Yeah, not only that, it's like what if you just buy too many, right?
Yeah,
it probably costs such a crazy amount of money, and I doubt that there's like a refund. I don't know how the server purchasing works.
I have no idea, but like from a consumer it sucks. But like I can see why, because it's like clearly the one issue. I don't know if they've addressed it yet, because again, the full launch hasn't happened, and it's gonna flood on Monday. So we'll have to wait and see. It's an incredible game. I'm really excited. Some of the changes they made, man, could be viewed as like an L. So for example, there was something called Team Affinity that happens multiple times throughout the year. I think there was 3, maybe 4 last year. And what it was every team got like a 90 overall diamond card.
Yeah.
And you could earn it by playing the game. It was very simple. It's a little time consuming to get all of them, but very easy. And what happened though, was after 2 weeks, everyone just had a full lineup of Team Affinity cards because there's 30 of them. There's a lot. What they've done now is you can only get 12, and it takes a long time to get them. You have to buy the rest. There is 30 in the featured program, right? But it does take a long time to actually get them. I like that change in the sense that base cards or live cards are more valuable, and they keep your value in terms of your lineup more. Because you're actually going to have them in your lineup much longer, because you can't earn infinite amount of these cards. So I do like that change, but it could be viewed as an L. But yeah, man, there is so much to do. The amount of guaranteed rewards. I played offline. I played basically Risk, where you take over this map.
Conquest mode. I played that a little bit. Isn't it called Conquest mode?
Yeah, Conquest mode.
Yeah, so that's like the only mode I've played so far.
Yeah, so it's a great place to learn. It's where I think if you have never played MLB, this is where you need to go, because you have to play 30 games to take over the map. And you could just mess around, right?
Yeah, that's what I was doing. And because I enjoy the mini game aspect of it. It's kind of fun. And it got to the point where I was trying to take over my first opponent's fan base. I don't know what it's referred to as. And I couldn't even beat the computer on Veteran, which I think is the second lowest one. So I just need to play more. I didn't get to play too much just because, we got exciting hut champs.
Exactly. So
I'm excited to play some more after GWC. I'll probably play sparingly here and there during the week.
It's really, really fun. And I really think that what's crazy is that when you play and you complete the first conquest, right, you get a free 88 overall diamond card. That's really good. You get a Mike Piazza. That's what just irks me so much, because there is none of that in NHL. You can play squad battles and somehow max out and not get top 10 because it's random, and you can pull nothing. And it's just also, another cool thing. So that they have these things called daily moments where you can log in and it gives you a moment. It'll be Mookie Betts hit a home run against you know, whoever, on May 28th, 2018, go and do that. And it like, if you don't hit it, you can just reset and goes back.
Yeah, dude, I enjoyed that. Actually, that was one of the few things I did in the game with who's the cover athlete. I know no
Shohei Ohtani.
He has like a moment or something, right? Yeah. Where you pitch with him in his like first game, maybe. Yeah. And I like that I go into it, I messed up, and I can just restart immediately. And it's only pitching too. I don't have to do all the boring, like I don't have to hit with random people.
Dude, it's wild. But the reason why I brought that up though is you get 1,000 XP towards the program, right? And some stubs and things like that for just completing that, right? It takes a second and it's actually somewhat enjoyable. Like if you actually read the blurb, it's real life, it's something that happened. Man, so someone came into my stream. It's like, oh man, it's 3:45. I better go and let's go check out the new NHL daily. It's like, oh, block 3 shots and score on the power play for 250 coins. 250 coins times 365 days is 91,000 coins if you did every single one. Like, it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's just sad.
And like, that's what makes me sad as a creator. So there's so much stuff to do. And even just as a consumer of the game, I don't know what NHL could do to even somewhat combat MLB and what they're able to perform. Because like, dude, the parallel system, you're starting to see that. Have you seen that now, like in action?
I haven't played enough. I've seen it. I've seen the little dashboard they have for it in the player card.
Yeah.
But like I said, I barely scratched like not even the surface. I'm like outside waiting to knock on the door.
Let me ask you this then. What have you been doing to get ready for GWC?
Somebody just mentioned it in chat as we're streaming live. I played Pens in 2 best of 3s today, dude. And let me tell you, before I even played him, he was my favorite going into the bracket for PS5.
Okay.
And so the first series, I lost both games. First game was an OT. Second game was like a 2-goal game. And then the second series, won the first game, lost the last two. Lost the last game in overtime because I got dunked twice because I just passed it out twice because I think I was bored. So why he's my favorite going into GWC? He doesn't pass the puck. He dumps it in every time, or he takes a slap shot from center ice and the goalie freezes it. So he doesn't leave any room in his game to deal with the terrible passing that we have in NHL 22.
He's just completely avoiding it?
He avoids passing altogether.
You say dump and chase works?
Dump and chase, dude, he's so good at dump and chase because he dumps it in the corner and then it bounces like at an angle that doesn't make any sense to me. Like I'm not like a mathematician, but I know geometry, right? Like it's basic science. And it's like bounces the other way and like my guy can't pick it up, but he plays great. But then we were texting afterwards. And he was like, we were just saying like the game was bad and stuff, complaining because I lost. And he was like, he said that he likes NHL 22 more than 21 because at least it's realistic. And he mentioned like fourth line hockey. And I texted him, I hate you after he said that, because I'm like, wouldn't you rather the game be realistic in the sense that it mimics like skilled, like McDavid, right? Like I would want to play like McDavid in the game and not like Jay Beagle. He's the smartest player Pens because he uses the game for what it is. So he's my favorite going into GWC. I'm just going to keep scrimming people like him, Saphir, Miso. I'm confident because I think other people are worried because the game's so random. So I just have this stupid arrogance going into next week. So I think I'm going to win.
That a boy.
Yeah.
Say this. I said this last night. We get into like deep talks at night, like 3 a.m. now during the subathon. It's funny because like I have said that I hate this gameplay, but I understand that it's like the most like sim base that we've had, and I can appreciate people that enjoy that. But I think as a video game, like I think that we've gotten to a point now where like instead of everyone being mad, some people are happy and some people are mad.
Yeah.
But the people that are mad are like mad. So I can appreciate some people liking that. But yeah, I agree. I miss the. Like the one-on-one deking and that kind of stuff. But again, that's just me. Like I understand that there's people that disagree with that and they do like just like being able to dump. I didn't realize you could dump it in, man. Like I didn't realize
he's really good at that. But you know what? That ties into what happened in like real life hockey. Was that last night or the night before with the Jay Beagle thing? Speaking of Jay Beagle.
Oh yeah.
Dude, the Ducks like, okay, so Zegras scores in Michigan again. That was pretty cool. It looks cool, dude. And then it's 5-0 and Jay Beagle just attacks. Was it Troy Terry?
Yep.
Punches him in the face. And then the announcers are like, if you're going to skill it up, like you should be ready to be punched in the face. Dude, there's a reason hockey is the fourth or fifth major sport in North America, right? Like basketball, you watch a game, LeBron James is going to score 30 every single night. Football, the ball's in the hands of the quarterback and the receivers. They make the rules so the skilled players do really well. Baseball, I don't watch baseball, okay? Hockey, it's the only game where, like, the rules change in the playoffs. McDavid doesn't draw any penalties because he's too good, and they want the fourth liners that shouldn't even, you know, they should be in the league. They're way better than I would ever be. But they just want the game to be like this, like 1950s, like Gordie Howe era, like sport. And I just don't understand it. And now the video game's leaning that way too. If they want the game to sell more, if they want to market it better, why can't they promote skilled play in the league?
We have, like, I got into a heated debate. Now it makes a little bit more sense that this is actually coming up, or that you're, that you brought this up, because Nathan, your editor, literally had, came in and had, I had a debate, about this. So this is good that it comes up live on stream. So the Troy Terry thing, yeah, I don't think that there's any room for, if you get absolutely dunked on, like, you know, like you get embarrassed, which is what the Michigan is. And it's happening so much that it's losing its allure.
Yeah, for sure. It is. I agree.
There is a reason why it hasn't been done. It's been done like five times, maybe like eight in the NHL in total. And like seven of them have come in the last, like, actually eight. They've all come in the last since Svechnikov did it. Yeah. Right. There is a reason why it's only that that doesn't happen, because it's not a really traditional hockey play. And it should not be something that it's a how do I describe this? It is a I don't want to say showboat, because I don't think, because you're still trying to score a goal. But if you do it, here is my argument. You can't go cross-check a dude in the face because you gave up that goal, right? But you have to understand that in hockey, you have to atone for that. If you're going to try that because it's in it, you're embarrassing your opponent. That isn't really what it is. Like Tomáš Hertl, when he scored that fourth goal between his legs, he's not trying to just score. He's trying to put on a show, which for the fans, awesome to see, right? But there's 20 dudes on that bench that are like, hey, man, you could have just, you know, not done that and probably still scored. All right, we're going to have to handle you a little bit. Now, I don't think there should be any illegal body checks, hits to the head, that kind of stuff. But I'll be willing to bet that Zegras keeps doing this. And I'm sure he will, because he scored it. Like, it's like a, it works for him, right? I feel bad. Because now what's happened is he is going to try it, and there is going to be a defenseman or someone that does not play super tight on him and knows that on the opposite side of where he's skating, that there's a good possibility that he looks down to try and get that puck back up on a stick behind the net, and he is going to get a shoulder to the face and get completely run out. And again, that will probably be a clean hit. I don't think it'll be dirty, but it's going to happen. And I'm okay with that as well. You see what I'm saying? Is my point so, like, coming across?
I get your point. I totally get that, right? And like, I never played at like any kind of level of hockey, right?
So I didn't
like,
play until always, I was 19.
So yeah, like, yeah. So there's always those people. It's like, oh, well, you didn't play. You don't understand. Yeah. I get that. But the thing is, it like it happened in 2005 whenever they started calling penalties, right? They were like those older, slower defensemen. Like Darian Hatcher was still in the league that they couldn't hang around anymore. And I feel like the league's almost getting to that dead puck era again with just the amount of stuff that doesn't get called, right? Which is, I guess, going against or like off track a little bit. But, dude, if you're not skilled enough to hang in there, then you shouldn't be on the ice. I'm sorry. If he's doing like a Michigan attempt or whatever and he's scoring, like, and you let that goal up, like, don't, why are you punching him in the face? Like, it's your fault that you let the
goal up. I think it's always going to be tough, because I think that hockey is such a different sport. It's so much more difficult to regulate than I think any other sport.
So it's not, though, because they don't call the penalties, right? Like, they don't.
Well, it's subjective. That's the problem. There is subjectivity. In MLB,
dude, it's not. I watched Mark Stahl, okay, when he was on the Rangers, cross-check Crosby in the back of the neck and head like five times, and it wasn't called. Why wasn't it called? Because Crosby's so good. Why would we call penalties that favor the Penguins just because they're so much more skilled than the other defensemen that are out there that shouldn't be in the league? And that's how it's always been in hockey, and it's frustrating.
So if you were Crosby, all right, let's say you were in a game and Mark Stahl is doing that and they're not calling any penalties, what would you recommend being done? If you are the Pittsburgh Penguins.
If I am the Pittsburgh Penguins, there's something that they did try in like 2012, 2013, and then also like 2018, was bring in like Ryan Reeves and stuff and those types of players, right? So what happens then? Okay, maybe the other team's a little bit more scared to do that, but then you have people on your fourth line that shouldn't be on the NHL ice, right? So 2015 and 16, I think 17, I forget what years the Penguins back-to-back, they had like no enforcers, right? The Penguins were like four skilled lines, probably the least physical team in the league. Yeah, maybe they got hit a little bit, but they won the cup back-to-back. I think that stuff needs to get out of hockey at some point. Like, it's ruining the game for me, in my opinion. Watching it, whenever you see McDavid get hooked in like whatever five times a game and there's no penalties called, like, what? I don't understand the NHL at all.
No, I think what this comes down to is like what you enjoy watching. I love like an awesome goal, like watching McDavid, right? Super, and I love it. I enjoy that. Also love somewhat like Rob Blake.
Dude,
like,
I love dudes hockey,
that can hit. No, and I don't mean it's tough, because what I'm trying to Douglas Murray. You've probably
dude,
never
crankshaft.
Heard of him.
No, he was on the Penguins.
Crankshaft.
Yeah,
he went to Pittsburgh. I forgot. Crankshaft, he was for a second round pick. Yeah. Anyways, yeah.
Like, well, no, dude, you just asked about that, right? So you just asked what the Penguins, they had Douglas Murray for a
Douglas
second
Murray,
round pick.
That makes sense. That makes sense now. Yes. Okay. I forgot all about that trade. I find it as enjoyable to watch him as it is to watch as a viewer. To watch that. And I think that when one overtakes the other, it's like, that's when you get into like these debates.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that hockey at its best has both, which I think is why the playoffs are the best playoff. The first round of the playoffs, in my opinion, is the best round of any sport.
Yeah.
Because they're as rejuvenated, or they have as much energy as they're ever going to have in the playoffs. And they all feel like they have a shot, and you know, they've got a long road to go. And it's like, simply, we got to get through this team. Like, Tampa and Florida last year was probably the best example of it. It was like, Florida was not a better team at the time than Tampa, but it was like, they were going to do every single thing possible. So when you get a lot of guys, there's very few guys that are as skilled as McDavid. And there's no one, but as skilled as goal scorers. So then the guys that can't do that, they've got a role, and it magnifies by like 50, because every time that a fourth line is on the ice, a good fourth line, like, the boards rattle. Every single check is finished. And I think that is hockey, like, at its finest. I think what happened with Zegras and whatnot, if you get score, I wish I could pull this up, because so everyone, if you're watching, so I have a Mason Howard jersey here. He is someone that came into my stream and watched me on Twitch, but he also happened to be a really fun defenseman for the Niagara Ice Dogs that I got to watch. And he's massive. He's 6'3", he's 230 pounds. He can't really skate, he can't really shoot, but he has some of the hardest hits you'll ever see in the OHL. And was so entertaining to watch. I was trying to find the clip, but it's the OHL and it's very hard to find. Someone actually scored the Michigan on the Ice Dogs, and Mason was the defenseman that was actually like there, like, it was his job to stop. But you're like, you know, I don't play hockey, and I can't, like, you don't see it very often, right? The Michigan gets off, he finally realizes what he's doing, the dude puts him in the net, and Mason put him on his ass into the boards, like, okay. And I was like, and then he just skated away. There was no fight or scrum afterwards, and the kid was all jacked up that he scored, so it's not like he injured him or anything like that. Perfect response.
Dude, that sounds completely reasonable. I have no problem with these things if it's like clean, like, inside the rule book, you know?
Yeah. He just tossed him like right into the boards, not dirty. He was literally looking at him, and as if to say, dude, I'm like, yeah, like, okay, you scored, but like, try it again, kind of thing. Like, you know what I mean? And I was like, I wish I could find the video, because it's a perfect example of how stuff like this should be handled. Because I really do. I hate the Tortorella, the get that garbage out of hockey. Like, no, that's exciting and fun. And it's hilarious to see. Is it embarrassing? Yes. And it's not really a good hockey play. Like, it is not. Yeah. You're basically trying to do things that you've been taught your whole life to not do when playing. You're looking at your skates. You're fumbling behind the net. Like, that's how you die in hockey.
Dude, so, but these guys are so good at it now. It's not like they're fumbling.
They're insane.
They're like insane. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, but like, I guarantee you, Zegras in the next couple years, there is going to be someone that the entire time that Zegras is on the ice is going to be a defenseman that it's just like, I'm going to wait for him to try because he's going to try it. And he's going to fumble it just for a half second, and the dude is going to absolutely crank him, and it'll be bad. And that's the response. Like, that's the alternate response, you know, because now you have to pay attention for it, right? So it's a fun debate, you know, and it's weird because I think, again, in terms of like hockey, I totally get like the exciting goals and stuff. I love huge hits.
Yeah. And playoff hockey, like you mentioned, is exciting. I get it. There's like 3-2 games where it's like, but the only reason those happen is because like the referees are like, no matter what, we're going to put our whistles away. So it's an even game.
Yeah,
and let me just totally demolish this guy and there's no call. And it's like, where's the middle ground, you know?
Yeah, like exactly. Grizz just said, is this the video?
He said, this is the video.
Dude, how did you find it? All right, I'm going to throw it up. I'm going to throw it up on your face here.
All right.
So again, so this is the guy's jersey. This is for the Ice Dogs.
This was the year
right before COVID. There's Mason right there. Watch it happens. Like perfect response. You'll see a better view of it in a second here. Goes for the Michigan, and then bang! Like just like. There it is. Like, it was already over. It was already over. But he was just like, nah, you know what?
Yeah.
You know, like, just, and then look at bang. Like, there. Wasn't dirty. It shouldn't have happened. Sure. Like, he probably shouldn't do that. You know? But no penalty was called. And that's, like, a perfect response, in my opinion, to that. I think that was good. Yeah,
and
you got
totally
me.
That
was
fine with me. Because it was a clean hit. It was a good, clean hit. It was a strong hit. And yeah, I think that guy that scored the goal was more than happy to take that hit every single time.
He got up and just hugged because he realized that he scored it. But like, and like, he was more than willing to just get crushed by him. So,
yeah,
all right. I mean, that was a good little debate off topic there.
Yeah.
All right. So let's just mandatory rush right through the hot topic to say that we're a Chell podcast.
Yeah.
EU team of the season came out. I have never been less interested in team of the season ever. I think it has a lot to do with the timing.
Yeah.
Unfortunate again because of timing in the NHL, because of the Olympic break, the season got pushed way back. Someone in chat just brought up the 160 pay choice pack. Oh, we're gonna talk about that. Thank you for reminding me. So it pushed the season back, but they can't leave it to the end of the season, which would be the true team of the season, because then we're talking almost May. And the game is dead by then. So they can't even market their way around that, and no one's going to buy it. So they came out still a little early, but I agreed with all of their selections, and I did a predictions video, and it was almost bang on. Let's talk about this choice pack thing. So I don't know if you noticed it, but right when they launched Team of the Season, for this Friday and last Friday, there was an option to spend 160,000 coins, and you get an untradeable choice pack, one of three, of Team of the Year cards. There was only like 1,000 of them. Agree, disagree? Do you like it? What are your thoughts?
They should probably increase it because it's like whoever's online at 5 o'clock. Dude, I'd be pissed. Like, what if I work? What if I don't get home to 5:30? You know, like, what if I can't be on here? I don't know. Maybe it should just be like you have the option one per account to open the pack and that's it. Because they have packs like that, right? Where you can only open it once. I don't know why they don't do that.
It's wild to me. Like, yeah, because like it's completely unfair. To the people that like can't get there to access that, especially with GWC going on. I opened one, I got 3 garbage cards, which is not shocking. But there's people that were able to do it like 4 times because Team of the Season cards are extremely difficult and expensive to make, and you can't even make the ones you want.
No. It's just the better version of the choice pack you have to use collectibles for because it's cheaper. Mm-hmm.
To make those packs, it costs you 26 and it ends up, that's about 400K to make that pack. So it's just, I don't know, man. It's just their methods this year have been just odd. It's the only way I can describe it. Nothing is consistent, which I like that they're keeping things on our toes and whatnot, but yeah, just like, I don't know. Their content choices have been really weird. And, did you pick up any Team of the Season cards for your GWC team?
I mean, I had, so I was online at 5 o'clock for that choice pack. And once
Wait a minute.
What? What's that?
So you're saying that what if I had to work? Meanwhile, you didn't work and you were at home. But you
It was 5 o'clock. I'm done at 4 on Fridays usually.
You made it sound like you couldn't.
Yeah. Okay, no, okay. I was angry. I was channeling the anger of the people that couldn't open them. That's what I was doing. I'm a man of the people. Yeah.
No. Well,
I saw that there was the choice pack, but here's the thing. I had Hedman, Rantanen. And then who else was there? Ovi, right? So basically the three best ones besides Panarin. And there was
no point.
Yeah. So there was no point of me opening that choice pack because like I can only get other ones that were worse. So I was like, I'm not even going to, because I don't want any of the other ones. So, I mean, I have Hedman, Rantanen, and Ovi. Can we talk about Hedman for a second?
Let's do it.
So can we talk about the abilities they gave this Hedman? And it was like, so first off, he has three skating synergy slots, right?
You okay. Sure do. He's 99, so, he's 98 and 97, I think.
98 and 97, right? So you're using him. And then I was like, oh, he has gold 1T. Why? He has 99 slap shot power and accuracy. Yeah. So he has gold 1T. He has silver truculence, which is really good. And then he has that silver no contest, which I actually activate for him because it's a good ability whenever you're because like the puck pickups in this game aren't that great, in my opinion. So that's one point to activate. Best card in the game, and you can't convince me otherwise.
100%. No, yeah. If you have the team of the year version, you actually get it for free, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You get both of them back, right? So you can decide on like which abilities do I want to use.
And I think it's okay. We're at late enough in the year that for that kind of card to come out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you're saying like that card's like incredible.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like 99 Hunt now, where every card's almost 99, and it's kind of boring because there isn't that much disparity between them.
Here's a side note. I just realized again. Sorry, I apologize for interrupting you, but I'm gonna forget about this. When, it's funny to me because whenever we ever, I don't know if I could say this. Whatever.
Say it. Who cares? What do we have to lose? I'll stop streaming tomorrow and I'll give away all of this. What do we have here?
So we've brought it up that like, hey, you know, Hut progression is kind of, you know, it's improved definitely after having these conversations with like devs and whatnot. And one of the responses is always, you know, we don't design the game to play with 99. It's just how it is. And the feeling of it is like, you just guys just have to accept that, which is, I think, is kind of shit. So what would you do to make Hut somewhat resemble Launch Hut with the progression of an ultimate team? And is there ever a way to do that? Because I feel like it's such a lazy answer.
I mean, the only way to do that's with the salary cap mode. MLB has BR mode, which you're using like silvers and bronzes or whatever. That'd be fun too. Only ways with a salary cap mode. Somebody said, sorry, I'm bringing this up. Sleeve should gift a sub every time he interrupts Queso. He would be poor in a minute. I mean, the only way is a salary cap mode. You know, it's funny. One of the devs sent me a message on last night. This is kind of like on topic and off topic. And last week we were talking and I mentioned something about disagreeing with one of the devs and it was just like reaching out to me. Dude, we're so negative, which is like obvious because how could you not be about certain things? At some point I have to turn a new leaf, right? At some point we just like, it is what it is. But then again, if I just say it is what it is, where's our whole entire like show here, right?
Oh, brother, dude, NHL 22, I am that. I talk negative about the game, but I have, it's like my hope has been sucked out.
Yeah, that like, is true.
If you go through the game changer graveyard of like Bacon Country and guys like that and like the old era, like there's a clear, like I've been a game changer for a long time. I've tried to give my improvements to the game. Game doesn't, or they go a complete different direction, and you're just like, I'm exhausted. I don't care.
Yeah, and that's like, we just have to accept that and move on, right? Like, that's really what it is, because like the developers are so limited. It is what it is. They're making the best decisions they can, you know, with like the limited resources. We can still provide our feedback. Like, it's...
I came out with a tweet. Oh my, did we talk about this? This is a great topic. Okay, I came out with a tweet because when I... ask for people's opinions on, you know, is this a good idea, right? I do it with the knowledge of knowing what is actually realistically able to be done and ever implemented in Hockey Ultimate Team or NHL in general. So, dude, I don't know if we talk about it. You'll know. I tweeted out, hey, would you guys be okay, because there is no way they will ever find a way to make this work, if in-game every goaltender online is 6'3"?
Yeah, we did talk about this. I remember this now.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. We did. And I keep going.
On the podcast?
Not on the podcast, actually. No, we just talked about this, me and you talking.
Oh, go ahead. Give me your idea. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't have an idea. You were mentioning if no matter what, you played online and each goalie would, in the gameplay itself, be 6'3", right? Mm-hmm. I would prefer that. I mean, it would never happen. I would prefer that because you wouldn't. A 6-foot goalie is just going to be bad in the game no matter what.
He's not
right?
usable. And he it's never will usable. Be.
It's not usable. It's like 6'5 and up. And that's it. Now it's abilities based, right?
6'3 is okay with post to post and light work, I still think.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I would like that. It's not real. It doesn't resemble the real game at all, right? Like if just every goalie is the same. What's that?
The reason why I suggested that is, one, there is no way they will find a way. This has been an issue since, I feel like it was really magnified during Hockey Ultimate Team, because I remember back when I would play my friend, right? Like, you would pick a goalie because he had a high rating. I didn't really think about, like, he's like 6'6". Like, I never did that. But, like, yeah. Hockey Ultimate Team is, like, how it would be done. Like, so I tweeted that out with that idea because, like, they're never going to fix that. They are never going to come up with a way to make a 6-foot, like the real reason why I brought that was Shesterkin. Like Shesterkin is like the best goaltender and probably will be now for like the next like generation. And you're never going to be able to use him in Hutt.
No, because is he 6'1"?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Dude. Okay. First off, why is he so good? I haven't watched them this year.
So like I've watched him a couple times because I've, for some reason, every time I go to bet on a game, it's just always with the Rangers involved. And if you look at like their analytics, he is dragging them.
Dude, yes, he's like a Hart candidate, right? Like he should win the Hart trophy this year if it was like a legit award.
Exactly. Yeah. Like if you remove in the sense of what the Hart trophy should be, if you remove that, how I think on it is like if you remove that player from the team, is that team even anywhere in the same realm of the same? And like I think like Yossi with the Predators and then Shesterkin, and then everyone always says McDavid. And that's true. It's a lot like LeBron, though. It's like no one wants to give it to him because he's dominating. But if you removed McDavid from the Oilers, they would be bad. They'd be worse, obviously. But they still have Draisaitl.
Yeah, but I don't like how that award works. Like, if you go by definition, if you go by the definition, it would always go to like a seventh or eighth seed that has like one amazing player, which I get that.
I get that.
You know?
Yes.
But like realistically, Gretzky won how many Hart trophies in the 80s? They had a Hall of Fame team, one of the best teams ever, but he was still by far the best player. So he should have won it every year, which I think he did most years. But if you go by the definition of the award, you know, some seventh seed in the 80s, I don't know what, you know, Marcel Dion should have won it one year if he was playing. I don't know if he was the 70s or 80s.
I think that definitely impacts the Jack Adams. Like,
yeah, well, that's in football, too, because it's always like the coach of a team that was bad last year that is like a wild card team this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you're an exceptional, like if you're Cooper in Tampa, like you basically have to set the record for the most wins to get to win it.
Yeah.
As opposed to someone who just like takes over as coach for a team that no one expected to win, which I get. I understand that. I just think that like that trophy specifically, there's trophies for whoever scores the most points that exists.
Yeah.
You know, I just think like the way I think of MVP and like the Hart candidate is like, if you look like, again, for Shesterkin, because we got off topic there, like if you look at like their analytics, and again, I'm not super big on it, but if you don't watch the games, like I think that's a great indicator, at least to give you some sort of sense of what's going on. Dude, it's astronomical. And whenever Gorgiev is in net, he has like an over 3 goals against and he's losing all the time. He's the majority of their losses. It's just wild to me, like what he's doing. And just, you know, F the Rangers fans who get Lundqvist for like 15 years and they go right into this. Like, it's just like, where they're like, Philly fans have got to be just absolutely triggered that they can't find a goaltender in 40 years and the Rangers go from one fist to
the Flyers. I've been watching hockey for like I'm turning 29 in a week. So I guess like 23 to 25 years. And I remember every single year, like one of the first years I started really watching, Brian Boucher had a really good like playoff run. Then they had like Roman Čechmánek. And then after that, it's just like this mismatch of goalies that like they had Bobrovsky for a little bit, right? Too, wasn't he?
They
like
ran
a
him
big,
out of town.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. And he ended up being amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, Bobrovsky's eliteness came in Columbus, not Philly.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like they gave up. Yeah, they just, it was like, it's like they just can't, that one position in that city, it just, even Čechmánek wasn't, he wasn't elite or a superstar. He was just above average. Like he was good, what you consider solid. But yeah, like it's wild. But like that, again, guys, for everyone that's going to listen to this and hit Reddit, I am never going to suggest to the devs that they should make every goaltender in game 6'3". I was just literally spitballing because I was giving an example of there is no way they'll ever fix this. There is no way that we will ever have a resolution for it. And it sucks. You should be able to use every player. They've done a great job with making smaller players actually have some use.
Yeah.
Because in NHL,
it's improved.
In NHL 20, it was like, who, if you were under 6'3", not usable.
Yep.
And now it's like, you've got McKinnon, you had McKinnon on your team for a while. And
Taylor
like that.
Hall, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like, yeah, like they have done some improvements, but that aspect, I don't see any resolution that they could realistically do to be. So like, I had an idea, like, how many times have you looked at a goaltender when you're playing online, or even if you were offline, I guess, and just been like, oh, he's, you take out the tape measure and it's like, oh, he's like, you know, half a foot above the bar or what, you know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't happen. So like, why not just make all of them act and play like they're 6'3"? But, you know, I'll probably get flamed. I get the realistic part. That sucks. I'm not saying like that's excusable, but we're never going to get it. So like, get a fix for it. So that's why I thought about it. And it actually wasn't that bad. It was like 60-40 split, which I was stunned about.
So like, I actually wouldn't mind that for like Hot Champions. Mm-hmm. I do think that like for if you play Hot Champs, like whatever the competitive mode, abilities should probably be off, and every goalie should be 6'3". That'd be great. That'd be awesome.
B-Wubs in chat, just so let's talk about GWC matchups real quick. So we do have a lot of people that are competing in GWC that you know, we're friends with and whatnot. So for anyone that doesn't compete in GWC, the matchups came out for the bracket play. So what's going to happen is the matchups to determine who is going to represent each of the 32 teams on each console. Sorry, I'm looking at my chat. There will be a representative for each team on each console. So four total Washington Capitol representatives. The first round has been announced. So we know who is going to play. So Kesso, who are you playing in round one?
Some guy named Mr. Felix that I think I might have played before.
That's got to feel good.
Junior Penn said he was like solid. We'll see. I feel good about my game. Like I'm just going to go in. Even if I get outplayed, Pekka is going to make some big saves. It doesn't matter.
You know, it's funny. Okay, so he is a hut hero. I've played him a bunch of times. He is very good. I would start the betting line at -400 for
Dude, here's the thing about it, dude. The same way, like, I might be, like, going up against Gren, like, oh, I might lose. Like, people are nervous to play me for some reason.
I think he would be someone who's nervous.
Yeah, so, like, my confidence is through the roof in these matchups.
Fair enough. Now, we did get some interesting ones.
Friend of the podcast, CJ142 is playing one of his best friends in the community, John Wayne. And so that is at worst the 50-50 series. I think people underrate CJ, really good player. Here's what I want to know. And CJ's actually, as we record this live in the chat, is CJ going to have the brewskis going during that? And I feel like there's like a 10% chance like he takes it easier. It's like, you know, up and then he lets John slide by. I don't know.
So for a backstory, we have to sell this because, yes, it is two of person. Like, first of all, they are two of my closest friends in the community as well. I've traveled to Alaska with CJ to visit John. Here's the thing. They have already played in GWC qualifiers twice. So yes. I'm going to bring it back even further. The year that John Wayne beat Eki at LAN and came this close to winning the entire tournament before he lost to Top Shelf Cookie in Vegas, where me and CJ were and we watched, he tied a game in his qualifier with CJ with 0.3 seconds to go to force overtime before beating him and then going to the USA LAN qualifiers in Connecticut. So CJ has had a tortured history against John Wayne because then they played again. Same situation. It wasn't as dramatic as that, but it's like these two very close. John or CJ's going to John's wedding, and the 3% chance that they match up at this phase of the tournament, and it's in round one. I personally hate it because there's been some issues with the format. Yeah, and a lot of it stems from the four consoles, and it's tough. That being said, I am when it comes to this event specifically, and Hut Champs, like any event that is tailored to find the best of the best, it needs to always reflect it at all stages. There can't be any hand-holding or rant. I wish there was a ranking that ranked the best players so they did not play until it was further on. And that might sound kind of crappy and like I'm grooving it and making it easier for harder players. I want to see this game played at the highest level because there are sequence as someone who has a potentially broadcasting the event, and I've done it before last year in NHL 21 when I called the GWC Central Finals. There was a few people there, had their great moment in the sun, probably what you would consider a Mickey Mouse run, which would be when you can line up the difficulty of players wasn't even close to some others, and they get on camera and we've got to broadcast a 9-1 game because someone made it further than they should because of random matchups. And I get that. Like, it shouldn't always be the same people over and over again. But I just think that early on, that really sucks. This early. And I, as the tournament keeps going, and I hope it keeps going, we see more improvements to the event. I think the four consoles this year really messed things up to a point that they're just trying to survive it. But yeah, our man John and CJ, that's going to be probably the best round one matchup. I know there's some other ones. I want to see chaos. So like, I'm okay with players that have, you know, players that maybe you wouldn't consider making the top 8 or top 12 or top 16 in the tournament. I'm okay with that. If they beat someone really good, I want to see that.
Yeah, that's but different than that's different. Somebody just getting like a cookie or cupcake, I guess, not cookie. Yeah, what cupcake, am I saying here? Cupcake matchups to go to the finals. We don't want to see. We've seen those people in the Final 8 in Connecticut before. We've seen them in Canada sometimes. It's not fun to watch those. Like, not at all. Dude, and the four console thing, I went and looked at like the top 8 last year. 5 of the top 8 players in GWC North America last year are on PS5. Only 2 of those people can go to the top 8 this year. So it's like, I don't know. It's going to be a rough year.
Yeah, it is going to be. It definitely feels like. And it's tough because this comes right after COVID, where the event in 2019 is still what I consider to be like the last GWC. Like, it's the last one. And that also because like it was a world, right? Like, you played, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The last few because of COVID. And again, that's completely out of their hands. I couldn't even believe they ran events with what was going on. So kudos to the NHL. For that, like that's pretty incredible. But you get past that and it's like lands could be a thing. You can finally, you know, get back to what made this tournament so good. And then it's like, bang, EA is like, nah, we don't need cross console. We don't need any of that. And they have to include all four consoles. I think that as a sports organization that is all about inclusivity, I think that I completely understand why it does kind of suck. In that sense that, like, you know, obviously you want to see the best players for the most part have the new consoles, but excluding people that don't, like, you can't do that this year.
I would have almost rather seen like one player from PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah.
And then like 3 from the other ones. Like, I don't know.
What's crazy is that, you know, you can play the PS4 and Xbox One version on PS5. I really thought there would be a point at which, you know, we get to a point where they would have to match up before the LAN. Where they would just play each other on the PS4 version, but you know, it's going to be crazy. There are going to be, dude, the way this game plays, oh man, there is going to be some fires.
I don't even know what to say. Listen, here's my question for you. I don't think the streams begin from the NHL until like later on in the tournament.
It's a very odd format. Yes,
but you made a I don't want to say you made a name for yourself in the community by doing this, but it was definitely exciting. You used to do the streams where you pull up at the watch parties for GWC. Are you going to be doing that this year?
Yeah, not in an official capacity, but yeah. I think with the there are so many storylines because this community has just there is a lot of storylines. Like, yeah. And again, for the casual listener that you just play the game and you don't know about like the competitive scene of NHL, you don't care. I would say show up to those streams that I'll do on the qualifier. So April 9th and 10th, I will host a watch party, I think, unless I have something going on. I mean, God, at this rate, I might still be streaming. Because I want to see chaos, man. I want to, like, I think, granted, I think is in the chat. Like, there has never been a year I've been more confident that the field will make Montreal. Like, every single matchup, because of how in this game is very poor in the difference in skill, because it is very reliant upon what happens in real hockey, and that's just bounces, you know, reactions off of things that you aren't anticipating and maybe shouldn't happen, and super powered ability goaltenders. Like, you are gonna see some things where it is just people are like guys that you would consider real shots at winning GWC losing first round to guys you've never heard of.
It's going to happen 100%. Mm-hmm. I'd put everything I own on it. Like you said, the field, like if I had to take who would win GWC this year, Regs, Gren, Canadians, or Josh, I would take the field compared to those four.
And it's funny because prior, like I would have said Gren and Regs, no matter what, because of just like how the game is played, because there was a pretty large skill gap. Yeah. But yeah, like, and it,
dude, listen, while we're on the Regs topic, I just have to mention, so I played him in Champs this weekend.
Oh no.
And he demolished me, right? Like, dude, he's the only person, I said this to him, he's the only person where it feels like you're just playing a completely different game from, and he's the best player in the world. I will say that 100%. After we did that, I was like, all right, I have to switch something up. We played a peer-to-peer game, and if people haven't realized, peer-to-peer plays a little bit slower than the servers, but it slows it down for me, which is perfect, right? So I gave him the old razzle-dazzle there. I won off some Hedman Gold 1T. We won the game, and that's what started making me feel better about GWC. But Bregg's best player in the world, I will say that. I don't know where I was going with that. But, dude, the peer-to-peer stuff, okay, that's the randomness, too, because it's slower. And people aren't used to playing on that. And there's going to be, like, if he struggled against me like that after just demolishing me on the servers, like, it can happen against anybody.
No, absolutely. And like, it's only a best of three. Each of these is a best of three, right? A lot of people in chat, again, we're streaming this live. A lot of people are, hey, we didn't mention Polgs. I think Polgs right now, if you were, it's very difficult to get caught up in things. I have watched more NHL esports and covered more NHL esports. I think anyone else, and I don't think that's an egotistical statement. I literally think I have watched more games than anyone else, and I haven't competed in 1 ounce of it, but I've seen it. Like, I think Polgs is definitely the most impressive player this year. Like, he is so good, but the GWC, I'm very prove it first before
that's fair.
You hand it out, because there's like, so not to take away, Polgs won a LAN, the first LAN in 2.5 years. I was actually there and I called it. I was stunned at that, because that when that happens, when you win your first tournament and when these guys win their first tournament, what you usually see is that they either make it to the finals or they win a lot more, because you play guys that just haven't done it before. And I think that like what he's done this year in a game that has very little skill gap among the top players, he has found a way to like get a little bit because of some of the stuff that he does. But we'll see when the lights are the absolute brightest. Because last year he disappointed in GWC. Yeah,
who did he
was still
to
really good last year.
Who did he lose to?
This is gonna drive me nuts. Polks, if you're in here, who'd you lose to?
He was the Chychrun? Kings rep.
I think it was Chychrun.
Okay.
It was Chychrun, who is a pretty good player. But if you would have put a betting line on that, that's like -250 probably.
Yeah,
for Polgs,
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so and that last year there was more of a skill gap than now. And he did not qualify. Yeah. Chychrun didn't qualify this year.
Yeah.
I think B-Wub's throwing that in there. But yeah, it's going to be really interesting, guys. If you have never followed the GWC, you don't know anything about the competitive scene, and you want, you definitely want to see it. April 9th and 10th is when the first two rounds take off. We will be following Kesso's stream. I definitely want to do that. We'll have a little watch party. Watch our man with the razzle dazzle. I'm assuming you're streaming all of your games, right?
Oh, dude, why wouldn't you?
Thank God.
All right. Like, I'm going to do the same thing I did last year and just like, I'll stream it, but I'm going to minimize the window or turn off my monitor so I don't even feel the need to look at chat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pogues is going to play from the hospital, allegedly. I know that's a joke. Yeah, he got his ankle surgery, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, it's going to be exciting. I'm definitely interested to see who goes further. Yeah, dude, a lot of use of the Razzle Dazzle comment after the Lazarus Shootout tournament. I have to mention again, I don't want to see people using that. I have the copyright on Razzle Dazzle.
Oh, I thought it was like in term of endearment.
Oh, it is. It's a great. It's like, oh, give them the Razzle Dazzle. You know, it means what it's like push and pee. I don't know what push and pee means.
Yeah, it sounds dumb.
But yeah, it sounds dumb. That's what Razzle Dazzle is.
I consider it like the little shimmy shake, like it just like little shoulder shake, little razzle dazzle.
Yeah, a little razzle dazzle.
Okay, fair enough. All right, we're coming up late here. I do want to take some live listener questions. All right, but before that, I was watching. I'm just a TV show junkie, and I think it's because it's like we've talked about this before. Like mentally, TV is like such an escape that like you don't even remember half of the stuff you're watching because you just watch it so that it's on, and your brain can just not try and pay attention to what you've been trying to pay attention to for like you know your entire day. I've watched. I'm probably well over. Is 75 full TV series like a ridiculous number?
I don't think it is. I really don't, because it's like you can knock one of those out in a weekend.
I don't know. I'm saying like a full TV series.
Oh, the full TV series. No. Okay. So you probably watch.
Because I was going to say 100.
Yeah. You probably watch like 5 to 10 TV series a year, right?
That's crazy to think about.
Yeah. So I would
say I just watched Grey's Anatomy, and that's 18 seasons. And I literally
Yeah. And I'm actually sickened that you watched that. Like, that makes no sense to me. Like,
it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
Dude, one of my best friends watches it.
Yeah. I mean, like, dude, it wasn't like, you know, television history. There's a few episodes that are in that show early on in like 2005 where I was like, okay. Like, that was pretty good. Okay.
That was when Catherine Heigl was in the show, right?
Yeah. Like, when they kill off main characters and like, you just don't see that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, we're like, it was just like, whoa, wow. All right. All right. So the reason why I want to bring this up. So I've run out of show. I'm in that part of that awkward phase where like you feel like you broke up with someone and now you got to go find someone new. Like when you end a series and you're on that Netflix thing and now it just says suggested as opposed to the next episode. It's like my worst. It makes me feel the worst because now I got to spend the next 4 weeks trying to find like a. It's funny because like you could just click a random show and it'd probably be decent, but you refuse to do it. You're like, no, I need the perfect show. The absolute perfect show when I've watched everything, there's going to be something new that I haven't seen before. All right. So someone in the chat just said Animal Kingdom. Great show. Watched it 3 years ago. So I was like, all right, back to an old faithful because this was taking like 2 hours and I was like, I got to find something. Bro. One of the most annoying things, not annoying isn't the right word because it's disgusting. But dude, Kevin Spacey.
I've been told 100 times in my life I bear a striking resemblance to Kevin Spacey, so keep going. Can you still hear me?
If you shaved, I mean, yeah, like
you've never seen me without the beard. Up until like 21, I never had a beard.
Yeah, like okay, yeah, okay, yeah, it's not, yeah, okay, it's funny. So obviously he's a disgusting, weird human being, like, but one of the best actors because. When he's it's wild. Like if you watch some of like Kaiser when he played Kaiser Sose, I don't remember the movie, but I remember his name.
Usual Suspects.
Yeah, that's like, dude, it's when you get an actor that plays a part perfectly, it's nuts. And when you get an actor that can do it multiple times, it's unbelievable. So I started watching House of Cards when its second season was out. I found it on Netflix. I had just gotten with my wife. I remember watching it and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to pay attention to this because I hate politics. I really didn't like politics at the time. And it's very jargon heavy. Like he's talking about, he's like the whip, which is like,
yeah, I was just about to say the word. I was like, I've never heard that. What is that?
Yeah,
I remember
watching this show. Yeah, exactly. I have no idea. And he's talking about Senate votes and all that. And like, I have no idea. So like the first 5 minutes of the show, I'm like, this is already not going to last. I don't know if there has ever, it is not one of my favorite shows. I asked you before this started to come up with some of your favorite shows. It is not one of my all-time best, but I don't know many that because of the ending, which is why it's not one of the best. When I don't know many shows that are that well written, directed, and cast where it all just meshed perfectly, because every episode is like this cliffhanger. It's the music is perfect. The dramatic scenes are insane. There's death and kill. Like it was just, it blows me away, and I get so mad because he couldn't even, spoiler alert, he doesn't finish the show, so he's killed off. All right? Yeah. Like, you know what happened. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? And it just, his wife in the show, the whole show is perfectly casted from the top to the bottom. It's not just him.
Dude, you know what's crazy about the show? They had Marshallah Ali, is that his name, that ended up being in Moonlight, and yeah. He's Blade now in like a minor role.
Yeah, like he's a lawyer, extremely good actor. So like his wife becomes the main character of the show, and she plays this dark, like it is so well written. It's just like the reason why it isn't one of the best of all time is because it ended early because Spacey's just a big weirdo. Yeah. And it's a shame because like he literally took away a craft and something that the world, like, it's very rare to find someone that good at acting. And yeah, but I just started watching it again randomly, and I just forgot like how good if you have never seen House of Cards, you need to watch it. And I promise you, if you don't care about politics, it won't matter. It is so good.
I watched it as it came out, and then it ended up getting worse as it went along. And then I think the third or fourth season, like the first two I thought were like excellent. And then once he left the show, like obviously I didn't watch it.
They had to just finish it. Because it didn't end on like a thing, and the show was too big to do one of those like, it's not getting renewed. You know, like they had to do like a final season. It was their
first, I think that and like Orange is the New Black, that was like the first two shows that like Netflix is like, okay, we're here, where our shows are as good as like HBO or whatever else.
It was just incredible. And all right, but so I asked you, give me a couple shows that you have to say. There's no order, because I feel like saying what your favorite TV show is a lot like picking like what's your favorite band or song. Like it's just literally impossible. It depends on the mood. But give me a few. Give me three, not in any order, your favorite shows that you've watched.
All right. So these are the three that were on my mind. And I was trying to go a little bit off the board, because you can always say like, oh, Game of Thrones, The Wire, or whatever, right?
I'll have the wire. Yeah. Scratch that off. I'm sorry. I actually wrote it down, but I'm not gonna talk about it.
There's always good shows, right? So the first one I'll go is a comedy. And on the theme of canceled people, Louis C.K.'s show Louis on FX was pound for pound one of the funniest shows I've ever seen. It was a sitcom on FX. Obviously after Bella's barking, jeez. Obviously after, you know, he got found for doing whatever he was doing.
Rightfully canceled.
Yeah. Right. Like whatever. The show was canceled. The show is just so funny. It's like there's like episodes that are serious that might have like one joke in them. There's episodes that are just like so absurd that it's like, who thought of this idea? Right. So there's that show. I'll go with Louis. I'm going to go with The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon Prime. It's about this stand-up comedian, female comedian. She is in like the 1950s, but the show is extremely well cast. Tony Shalhoub from Monk plays her dad. I don't know if you meant to. Okay, there we have it. What was that face?
I tried to zoom in because I was like, what the hell show is that?
But The Marvelous Mrs.
If you're not watching, hey, give me one second. Let me fix that zoom because I got to refresh my camera. My camera actually froze. Give me one second here. I tried it for comedic effect. Go with the close zoom in, but my camera was frozen. Like there we go. All right, there we go. Back to
that. Okay, yeah, dude, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon Prime. It's the best show there. It's the best show, dude. Now we're on a different thing. You are throwing me off here.
We're good.
I'm trying to fix it. Okay, all right. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, 10 out of 10 show. And then the last one is another show on FX. I was trying to go off the board. You're the Worst. It's about this. It's like a, I guess like not even a rom-com, but it's about this couple that are just like mentally, like poor mental health, like a toxic relationship. It follows them through five seasons. Dude, I'm sorry. I'm laughing now because Hayes came in the chat and he's like, look at Dumb and Dumber. And I'm just dying because we are idiots. So I have these three shows.
Okay. I think you're trying to take it. You're trying to say something that like it shows that no one think of. Okay. Don't think. Give me a show.
Dude, I mean, this.
What pops in your head when you say best TV show? Don't think. Best TV show.
Season 1 through 6 of Game of Thrones.
Did you enjoy it that much?
Yeah, seasons 1 through 6. And then they ruined it.
I agree.
Dude, I've watched too much TV. That's the thing. Best TV show of all time is The Sopranos.
Okay. Yes. All right. See, that comes to your head quickly.
All right.
I will give you mine. And also, I don't like sitcoms anymore. Is that a generational thing?
No. So sitcoms are bad, right? If they're on like basic TV, right? Like CBS, NBC.
I don't know.
No, they're bad. But like comedy shows are funny, right? Like, so like Always Sunny, Seinfeld, etc. Like those are great shows. But like sitcoms are bad, right?
Well, that's what Seinfeld is a sitcom.
It's the greatest sitcom of all time, though.
So, okay, let me ask you this. We were definitely blessed with the best sitcom era of all time. And I really don't think it's up for a debate because you've got Seinfeld, the late 90s. You have Friends. You have Everybody Loves Raymond. You had Frasier. You had King of Queens. Those are just the ones that randomly caught up on my head. So
I am glad you mentioned King of Queens. I think Kevin James is underrated. Yeah. That show was so funny.
It was great. I used to watch like those shows every single day. And now I just, it's like, if I know that I'm not going to get invested in a character and go through their whole story arc, I don't care. And I don't know if like, okay, there's guys in the chat that have got to be around 30 years old. Do you feel the same that if you go and watch a new show that you just don't care about a 30 minute TV show? I'm curious about that. But, okay. So,
all right, Sleeves, what shows? I'm curious. What shows do you have? Because you already went through a couple. Let's hear what you have.
Okay, so my number one unquestioned show that will probably always be my favorite because, one, I remember watching it. It was one of the first shows I ever watched, and I was excited about the weekly. You know, back in the day, there was no Netflix. You had to literally be home at a set specific time or you were toast because you couldn't go back and watch it. All right? So number one, I'm going to get flack, and I don't care. I'm going to say it with pride. My number one favorite TV show of all time is The O.C. I think it was perfectly cast.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Lost, because it made sense because of the weekly thing.
Lost would be up there, and I consider it one of the best shows of all time. Lost got lost in itself. When it introduced so many storylines that were so insane that they literally just forgot about like stuff they had talked about. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't answer the polar bear. Like, it was so good, but it got so over the top that they couldn't answer a lot of the questions. And that's why I don't consider it to be... It is one of the best of all time, but it's just not one of my best of all time.
Okay.
The OC was probably the... It's the all-time teen drama, as I was a teen, by the way, when I watched it, so relax, that didn't go on too long. It literally only lasted 4 seasons. They killed a main character because she didn't want it to end up being 9 seasons long, and it was perfectly cast by people that weren't like, other than Peter Gabriel, there was really no one really known on the show, and all of them were just perfectly casted. So I think that's a prerequisite. It will always be my favorite show. I remember where I was watching the finale. Just loved it. And every time my wife watches it, like once every year, and like I get like kind of happy just like hearing the da-na-na-na-na. Like, I don't know. It's just nice. Okay. So the other one, I have never had a TV show take over my life. And I mean, I went to work, but I found a way to do all of my work in a day in a span of an hour and a half so that I could sit on my phone and have Netflix up on my desk because it shut down my life was Prison Break. And I did not watch that show until it was about 10 years finished. Because I remember when it was out, everyone told me like, oh man, such a great show. You got to watch it. And I was like,
Yeah, that's how I am. I've never watched it.
If you watch the first season of Prison Break, might be one of the best seasons of television like that has ever been done. And again, perfectly casted, perfectly directed. The story is insane, and it might go on as a series a little long in the tooth on like the fourth season. Because what ends up happening, it's like, I use Prison Break for example. No, I don't want to use Prison Break as an example because you need to watch it. It's like there's a thing they have to like achieve, and they achieve it, but then it just has to get bigger. And then by the end of the series, yeah, they're like taking over a planet. Meanwhile, they were just trying to take over a building in season
they're
just one.
They were trying to get out of prison. Now they're trying to overturn the United States government. I get it. And I think that's why, you know, I see people mentioning Breaking Bad. Like that went for five seasons, and that's great. I wish more TV shows were like, hey, we have this story to tell over 3 to 5 years. Once we do this, I get that the cast is making a lot of money. I get that this show is popular. Let's go out on a high note. You know, let's just end the show.
Exactly. And I don't think that happens anymore because they're like, man, this made a lot of money. Let's just keep going because it's so easy and the ease of access and whatnot. I'll address like Breaking Bad. You know what's funny, man? I never want to say Breaking Bad's the best show because back when Breaking Bad was out and at its hiatus, at its height, if you like Sons of Anarchy, you like couldn't like Breaking Bad. It was it's like console wars. Like it was the dumbest thing because like again, there was no like Netflix where you had a set amount of time in your week and it was like I'm either watching the OC or I'm watching the Breaking Bad or I'm watching Sons of Anarchy. It was like there was no choice. Like you had to pick one, and it's like. So I watched Breaking Bad and I've watched it a couple times. That is another like all timer. Like that's an incredible show. I think the one thing I can't stand about shows like that though is where the ending is dictated in the pilot of the show. Like, I don't want to ruin Breaking Bad for anyone who hasn't watched it.
Spoiler alert for a show that ended 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, actually, yeah, that's on you.
Well, you know what though? There's a lot of people
getting cancer in episode one. You know how it will end, no matter what. It is.
Yeah.
Mike in Suits. Like Suits is another great show that ended because of Meghan Markle deciding she wanted to be a queen. But like that show was perfectly casted. I know. I mean, like, dude, we had a great show going here. Like that's another show. Like Suits is up there as well, but it ran into the thing where like it went on really long. And again, when you change out the cast a lot, like all the shows that we just described, like, so I'll use the OC as an example. Like, the core people are in it and the main people the whole way through.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, you look at what happened with, like, The Office, where it's, like, Michael Scott leaves.
I've never seen The Office.
All right, well, they introduced, like, a bunch of new characters the last two seasons. It was terrible, but, like, no, I know what you mean. You keep the same cast all 5 to 10 years. It's a good show.
Yeah, it's great, man.
Yeah.
And
you have one last show, right?
I was going to say House of Cards just because that's what started it.
Yeah,
it's funny because like I watched Sopranos. So this was, I was in my house. So this was, I think it was the summertime when we got summer actually. I watched The Wire and then I watched Sopranos back to back. I had never seen them, and I consider myself like a TV like aficionado. I don't know what the word would be, but like I've seen like every TV show possible. For some reason,
I think the other word is just loser. But yeah, you can go with aficionado.
I play video games for a living, Kes, so that's kind of like numb to me.
Yeah.
I watched them both, and watching The Sopranos, the one thing I noticed, because I did watch a lot of TV back then, but again, it was like Seinfeld and like it was a different era of TV show. There wasn't a show like that that was so good that we're like every show now, an episode is like a movie. It's really well directed. It's over the top. It's very, a lot of stuff involved where other shows back then, like if you watch like MASH, it's very simple like the whole way through. Right.
Yeah,
Sopranos MASH is like the first like show where it was like a drama at a time in technology when it was just becoming like insane with what they were able to do. And it was just so good. And I think the thing that always blew my mind is that it was like he's a mob boss, but they try to underscore and like make it normal and normalize like him killing people.
Yeah.
It's never this big spectacle. It's just like down to the boat, bang. Like, and like, all right, well. And then, like, you know, he talks about it in therapy and all that kind of stuff. Like, it was just so well done. Like, I think it's
a perfect show. And, like, I know the ending got, like, a lot of flack for, like, what it is. But, like, you can't really end a show like that and everybody's going to be happy. I kind of like the ending of it.
The show out right now?
What show?
That is, so, like, every about 5 years, we a show is on long enough, garners enough interest where the world stops. Like, so Sopranos is one because I remember social media, news outlets, anything were just covering the Sopranos finishing. Like, that was it. Like, they were like, everyone was just waiting for that. Game of Thrones would be another example. Breaking Bad would be another one. What's the, like, the show right? Like, the Ozarks is almost there.
I don't think there is one, though, because it's like Ozark's a big one. But they come out too quickly, right? Like Squid Game, I know that was like more of like a reality, like fake show.
That's a show that's going to ruin with more seasons.
Yeah, and that show was there. And there was like tons of like BuzzFeed. Not that I read BuzzFeed, but it's like all these articles. Video, everybody's talking about it in pop culture. And then it's forgotten in a week. And that's like most shows now. Like I can't think of one. Game of Thrones was the last one.
I remember watching the Ozarks first season, and I, like I said, I would watch shows that aren't popular. And when Ozark first came out, it was not like everyone needed to watch it. It was just like, and I remember watching it and going through all the way up to last season, and be like, man, this is going to be the show. And again, it's ending this season, and they did it in two parts to try and milk out as much as possible. I think if it would have gone maybe one more season, potentially like all timer. But if the last seven episodes, if they hit right, it has like a shot to be like one of the best ever. Did someone just said Walking Dead and that might be the most.
Nah, I'm going to disagree. So I did watch like the first like two seasons of Walking Dead. Walking Dead. Somebody said Walking Dead. That show, how many seasons is it on now? There's people in the show that weren't like, come on. Now. That show, it's gone on way too long.
So the first season was incredible.
It was. It was really good.
So from my understanding, and again, I'm sure there's like nerds in the chat that are like comic book warriors and whatnot. From my understanding, there was a writer strike halfway through in like the television guild or whatever it was called. And they still had to put the show out. And the people that they used to write it, like literally used storylines from like that were not meant to be for like three seasons. Like the blowing up of like the facility they get to in the sixth episode thing was like 2 years down the road. We really changed a lot of things from the beginning, but like the first three seasons were really good. And then I remember there was a season, I'll never forget the last season I watched. They walked on a train track the entire season from start to finish. And they ended at this place, big climax. It took an entire season to get there. The conflict was over in one thing. They left this building. And I was like, I'm not investing any more time. This is absolutely ridiculous.
They don't value your time at all.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. Quicks on Top has a great comic. No sleeves, more like no muscles. I mean, that's scientifically impossible, but welcome to the show.
Well, he is. Next one, he said. Dude, it's funny how bad the trolls are. Like sometimes, and like
if I wasn't recording like a live show, I would absolutely bury this dude. But that's okay. I had one today, like my first MLB troll. They don't know yet. They don't know.
Dude, you can't like. There's certain people you can't troll. You can't troll me. I'm assuming you can't troll you. I don't really care. Like, you can say whatever you want. You can tell me I'm the ugliest person in the world. Here's the thing. You're clicking on my channel. You're watching my channel. This is your channel, actually, because we're doing the live reading. Whatever. But you know what I mean? You can't say anything to me.
No, absolutely.
I'm sure you feel the same way. What are you going to say to me? You're on the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, come internet. Get me, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
And my wife, she wanted to chime in. She said, you suck.
Oh, that's Sky.
That's tough. All right, chat. Let's open up the floor.
We're going
longer today. It's a special episode. We got 10 minutes. Ask a question. We'll pick one out. Or I'll ban you. So either one.
Yeah, as we wait here. Dude, people are throwing in like, dude, have you watched this show? I've watched most of them.
Yep.
Who's your all-time favorite Sharks and Penguins player? So I'll go for Penguins. Growing up, my first jersey I owned was Jaromir Jagr. So he's an all-timer. Dude, like late 90s Penguins hockey, even like 2000, 2001. Dude, Jagr was a city, you know, like he was just 68 with the mullet there, like carrying the team before Lemieux came back. How could you not love Jagr?
Nine's Patrick Marleau.
And that's reasonable too.
Yep.
Yeah. Country Joe's asking about Vietnamese coffee, which I still haven't tried. How much does Henry eat every day? So we buy this like pig food. It's Missouri brand. It's like MIZZOURI, I think. And it's just like these small pellets, pig food, very similar to like dry dog
like
food.
Bunny food?
I don't know. I've never had a bunny. I've never had a rabbit. Yeah. So he'll have like 6 to 8 scoops of that a day, like an apple, some strawberries. He just hangs out.
Kanger says, you guys both stink. Want to embarrass Kanger? Dude literally came into my chat and said, hey, when's the live podcast going to be done? Because he was just waiting for it. Couldn't get enough of Coffee and Shell.
Wait, who is that?
Kanger.
Oh, I missed that one. You guys both stink. I know. Dude, Kanger. Dude, Kanger's my underdog this year.
Dude, did Kanger make it?
Yeah, he qualified this past week.
Oh my God, good for him.
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
First big name player to get upset in GWC. Can't be CJ or John Wayne since they play. I'm going to go Gren. Just giving him fuel. So this would be like fire.
Someone that you would consider that should make Montreal, or just like a big name that we would be stunned to lose in the first round? What would be your criteria?
Probably just early, a big name player that, you know, gets bounced in the first 1 to 2 rounds.
I'll say Jose.
That's a good one. I'm going to throw a Pulse out
there
too.
Not because I think he will, but it's assumed that he's going to Montreal.
Yeah.
And when you have like that mentality, it's like that's usually when it happens. He's like also one of the best in the world, so I'm sure someone will clip this or whatever. But yeah, Sleeves is talking shit. He thinks you're off. Like, no, it's not. That's not true.
We didn't talk about Kartanarks yet. I have watched I've randomly went into your stream the last 2 days. It was like late last night. Were you replaying an old Coffee and Chell episode?
That's what I did for sleeping, dude.
Oh, that's what you did for sleeping. Okay, so but I was watching the one Kartanarks video that I've watched before, and I was like, oh, I've watched this before. Dude, good for those guys. I don't know who it was.
All right, so like I found them on TikTok is amazing for this. Like I have found things that I listen to now by seeing clips. Like one of my favorite podcasts called Mind Pump, and it's three guys that are bodybuilders, professional trainers, own gyms, one's extremely smart scientifically, and the other two are kind of like bro guys, and I love all of their stuff. Literally just found it by scrolling TikTok, and Kartanarks I like found. They've been their channel's been on for a while. For anyone that doesn't know what Kartanarks are, it's literally a guy who dresses up in a bulletproof vest with a big orange like stupid airplane light, and it says Kartanarks, and his whole gimmick is he runs around parking lots to find people that are leaving carts beside their car instead of putting it back in the cart corral, and he literally just goes up and he's like, skippity beep beep beep, yo, that's yo, you're leaving your cart there. And the reactions of people, and like that's my favorite part about it, is you see people that are like, instead of just arguing about this guy being extremely weird and telling you to go put your cart back, and he does it in the most polite manner, which really pisses people off because they want a reason to go and like actually get into an altercation. It's hilarious. I think that it's absolutely hilarious.
He's needed. He's kind of like the Dark Knight, you know, it's like he's the hero the city needs, not the one it deserves.
72 Svetch says, no sleeves gets no bitches. My bitch is literally in the chat.
Well, that's rude that you referred to her as that, but
yeah. I'm just kidding. She's a wonderful lady. She has done very well, by the way, dealing with the fact that I have literally, so like doing a subathon where you're on stream the entire time is like one thing, and that sure, that's like difficult and absolutely awful for your mental health. Like, it's terrible. I would never recommend doing this. But shout out, you know, my wife is literally just taking care of our dog, and they're now best friends, which kind of pisses me off. Like, she sends me pictures of like my dog where I sleep in bed, just passed out. And I'm like, that's adorable. That's all I want to do is just cuddle my dog. And they're best friends. And I'm just like, you know, this forgotten guy that shows up once every like couple hours. I'm like, hey, how's it going? Then back downstairs to play video games in front of a couple hundred people. But she's
maybe a few hundred, not a couple. There's a difference
between a couple of you. I don't want to flex. It's going well.
Yeah, dude.
But no,
I mean,
it's been going good. It sucks. Like, you know what I mean? That's the one downfall, is I don't get to see my wife very much. So, yeah. Oh, she also does have COVID. So.
I do see that. Yeah.
Yep. She also said, I have COVID. I'm a champ. You know.
When are you guys coming to Pittsburgh?
When are we coming to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I feel like we should all go out or
that's
something.
That's like a weekend thing. We could definitely do that. I would be down. I'm probably not going anywhere as a vacation for quite some time again because of how expensive, and we did not get our money's worth out of that. And
it's you guys can stay in the basement. We can do a live coffee and chill with Henry.
Bang.
You guys, there we go.
With like a nice like scotch or something.
Oh yeah,
we should do that, dude. We should do a live coffee and chill with our monocles and top hats when we're hot billionaires. Oh, next year.
Dude, listen, like I am going to be an oil tycoon. Okay, slicked back hair, top hat, monocle. I can't wait. Just a cigar smoke. Like, dude, people are going to like move into this house in 20 years and they're gonna be like, why are the walls yellow? And it's going to from the years of cigar smoke because I'm a hot tycoon.
I can't wait to just make 10 million coins. What do you think is the record?
I think people have been at like 15 to 20 million, I believe, maybe more.
You think there's a screenshot of 20 mil?
I would bet money. I'd bet any amount of money from the past since NHL Hut and 11 that somebody has a screenshot of 20 plus million coins.
All right, that's your guy's homework. We have to find who has the most amount of coins ever recorded. And you can't fake it. You can't fake that, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure somebody that spent 3 hours in Photoshop could do that. But I bet there's some legit ones. Because, dude, there used to be like the glitches and stuff where you could like duplicate things and all that in Hut. So Paul Balls had one. With over Paul Balls with over 32 million.
That's so, man, I could probably do, you could do that easily in MLB.
I want 1 billion.
How long do you think that would take? Because once you get up to like, once you have 5 million coins, you, every event you could buy every trade. Like once you get to the point, I would say, how many coins do you think? Five million. If you every new event comes out, you buy every single tradable Master Set player.
Dude, here's the thing. We could have done it this year because we had the game early, like half a day early. But like then we spent a bunch of money. We could have done that with the whole market, especially for the team builders. So if we do that next year, we can like just buy literally every card on the marketplace and then just jack up the price.
That was Kesso. I would no way be taking part in that. I will be canceled on Reddit. I will not take part in that. Cancel Kesso.
I'm just throwing that out there.
There's definitely, I guess, but there's no way to get resources enough to do that at the launch of the game.
Dude, we spent
you
five grand.
You can set yourself up.
We spent $5,000, right? We opened packs for 24 straight hours. And then
it would take 24 hours. Because
It would take 24 straight hours, right? We probably have like 3 million coins from like just the random quick sell stuff. And then we just control the market, right? So we keep building it up. Once you get to like 15 million coins, you can control like gold players from like 77 to 82 overall and just control that, right? And then just keep doubling. And it'd be a full-time job at that point, right?
General says Crystal Pank. Dude, Crystal Pank, that's a name I haven't heard of in years. And I don't even know if you, do you know who that is?
I remember the name because he used to have every single card.
Yeah, he was that was before all the GWC guys, before it came over. He was like a Hut hero before like GWC was a thing. He had 70 million. I think at a certain amount, you could then it becomes easy, which is a lot like real life. Like once you get like a, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like your first million's easy. It's the hundred million that comes after, or the 100 million's easy. The first million's hard.
Exactly. You know, how'd you become a billionaire? I just took a quick small loan from my dad for 100 million. That's how I turned it to a billion.
So, Hazy says, who do you think is winning the cup this year?
Penguins. I
desperately want to see Florida win, or the Leafs. I really do. I want to see my old man. He has been such a diehard Leafs fan his whole life. He was 7 the last time they won a cup. I can't imagine being 60 and only seeing it once and it being like he is what I am towards the Sharks. So I know what that feeling is like, and it scares the hell out of me because the Sharks had a chance to win the cup, and it'll probably be 30 years before they find some, you know, Joe Thornton, Marlowe-esque like core again. And seeing what happened to the Cubs, that's my ultimate fear as a sports fan.
Yeah.
Like 100 years. Like I would like to see the Leafs. I would like to see the Leafs win. All right. Two more.
Okay. Two more. And then I'm going to get going because my wife's probably thinking like, it's a long podcast. Let's see. What else do we have here?
Thrash would be the first Hut billionaire. The reason why Thrash would not be the first Hut billionaire is because he uses all of his coins to just make videos on pack openings.
Yes.
He's very smart about that, by the way. So he doesn't take, for anyone that doesn't know, how Thrash has all those packs and opens those packs. He doesn't really spend as much money as you would think. All what he does is he basically, all his team that he uses is all untradeable. So if he packs something untradeable, he uses that. And then any pack that he gets or anything else he packs, he sells and then opens up packs with coins, which I would never recommend doing as a viewer. For the love of God, never open up packs with coins. But
somebody has picks to win GWC. I'm going to go Junior Pens.
I will go...
Who do we have?
There's too many people want to make angry here. This is a bad question.
Dude, I like making people angry.
Yeah, I have a really good feeling about you, which annoys the shit out of me, but it'd be good for marketing. So,
oh, it'd be great for me. I think I'm going to win, but I just had to be nice. So I'm going Pens.
You know what's funny?
Huh.
The same person that I think could get knocked out really early based on playstyle and how this game is Josh. It is also the same person that I can totally see winning this game. And because of him being on an older console, I could see him being knocked out in the second round, but I have a weird, I said it last year about Gren, and I was right about that. I have a weird feeling about Josh.
Dude, here's the thing. If everybody keeps getting banned and he doesn't, he has nobody to play against on Xbox One.
The whole banning we didn't even talk about.
Let's not.
That's
people want. People want us to talk about it. You know what? Find something better to do with your time than talking about people getting banned.
Yes.
Yep.
What was the other thing? There was.
What's the best pack? Would you have something else? Oh, say my name.
It's Kesso. What do you mean?
So that's somebody wanted you to say my name because you say it wrong.
I don't say it wrong. Your name is Kesso.
It's Queso.
That is not how you spell Queso.
Yeah, it is in Filipino. Is that the language that I did it in?
Wait. Good.
Huh?
I mean, all right, we speak English.
Say my name. Say my name.
It's not my fault you spelled your weird name wrong.
Dude, it's my name. I didn't spell it wrong.
If you were to poll people, go up to them on the street and say, "Hey, say my name." 9 out of 10 say Queso.
I don't know about that.
I'm going to put it to a test.
Hey, listen, here's my final thing before I leave for the week. Yeah. To the people that listen, the people that are watching live, there is one show recommendation that I have. And I actually mean this with all of my heart. If you haven't watched I Think You Should Leave on Netflix yet, turn this subathon off. Stop gifting subs to sleeves and go watch that show.
I know.
It's a sketch comedy show. I've watched it probably 10 times through, and it's only 2 seasons, and it's the funniest show I've ever seen in my life.
Funnier than Whose Line Is It Anyways?
It's the funniest show ever. And I will say that. I will go to my grave saying that. So.
All right. Fair enough.
Is this cake? Okay. Wait, no, that's not that joke. Somebody said, no joke, thought you were going to say, is this cake? It's this really bad game show on Netflix called Is This Cake?
Oh, and yeah. That's like on my top thing, and I'm like, no.
Dude, don't watch it.
All right. So Kanger says I say Queso, not Queso. See, he's a man. He gets it.
Yeah. All right.
I trust Kanger. I trust Kanger's ability to.
They're playing, dude. It's like the Oscars. They're playing the music now. We've been talking too long. We got to wrap it up.
I got someone to come over that'll punch you in the face. All right, dude. It has been great. Thank you guys for watching. I'm trying to make sure I don't hit end stream.
Dude, please don't hit that.
I know. And anyone that has been watching live, maybe we do it again sometime live. But this was fun. And for anyone watching the video, thank you for watching. And if you're listening, make sure you download and give it a like and all that other stuff. All right, guys. Have a good one.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.